Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, believe, and hold to the truth that Jesus Christ has given His church three commands. Those three commands are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in them, all the scriptures are wrapped up. Nothing has been taken away. In fact, more has been added. And to that we set our lives and our hope in Jesus Christ. And the church says, and we welcome you again, as I said, this day as we are opening a new three-week sermon series here. It's called Life in the Last Days. Today I'm talking about the five goals. I'm actually giving you the end of the sermon, and then we're going to go back and look at the sermon, and you're going to say, well, Pastor, if we don't know the sermon, how is this going to help us? Because this is the focus of the sermon. And rather than giving it to you at the end, I wanted to give it to you at the beginning because I want you to understand why these five goals are important, what God is doing, and what God tells us about life in the last days. And I understand and know that we are all in the last days because we only have so many days. When we look at our life, we only have so many days. So from the time you're born until you die, you're in the last days because that's your days. But we also know that through the signs of the times, we can see in accordance to Scripture where we are because we have that insight through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you are truly looking at things in the world today, you understand we find ourselves in these last days revelations, these things that are coming about. Many people were talking that what's happening right now over in the Middle East, what's happening with Israel, is the Psalm 89 war, which leads then into the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, which leads then into the final war, which is at the end of the tribulation. So you and I need to see that we are truly living a life in the last days. Even when Jesus was here, when He left, He told us these are the last days. They're the church days. And these are the last days before the end of time. Because there's another age to come. It lasts 7 years, called the tribulation. And then there's a millennium where Christ shall reign. So we are in the last days of this first era that has come from the time of Adam and the Jews being raised up to the time of Christ and now the age of the church. And we are looking unto the last days. And if we understand that, we'll see just how important this is. Turn in your Bibles with me. We're going to go to the first goal. And the first goal is entitled Walk in Victory. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verses 1 through 10. 2 Timothy verses 1 through 10 in chapter 2. This I have entitled Walk in Victory. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ, and with it, eternal glory. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. This first goal that is being spoken of here, it's very important for us to understand this has to be the first goal for each of us in end times living, in the end of days living. Because if we are not part of the victory, then we have no part in Christ. Because we need to remember, Jesus said, I have overcome the world, therefore take heart. Because he has won the victory through his resurrection. Can I get an amen, church? You and I have won the victory through Jesus Christ as well. He has taken upon himself the curse of the law for each and every one of us who will receive his death, burial, and resurrection as our death, burial, and resurrection. Can I get an amen? We need to understand, and I love this, and I want you to understand this. In the NIV, verse 6 reads thusly. It says, verse number 5. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize in the NASB. In the NIV, he does not win the crown of victory, or the victor's crown. That's NIV and several others. Why is that important? Because I'm going to tell you right now, each and every one of these goals that I'm going to talk to you about today have a purpose. Each and every one of them comes with a prize, because they are the goals that we are to look forward to in Christ Jesus, because these are the things that are going to keep us focused. How many of you realize right now that the world is doing all this stuff to keep us terrified, to keep us paranoid, to keep us divided, to keep us under its thumb? Okay? Please remember, from the book of Ephesians, we know this truth, that we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but we struggle against powers and principalities. Can I get an amen, church? And that is exactly what we are seeing. This thing is worldwide. It is coming at us from every stronghold within the world. Moloch is up and running. Baal is up and running. Asherah is up and running. All of these different things, all of these different demonic entities are up and running. And we need to understand this is the way it has been from years past to now. The only difference is so many people have been divided, and so many people are looking outside of Jesus Christ for hope, that when you do that, you give those spirits power. Do you understand that, church? Just as when we fall to Christ, his power reigns significantly in us, that we can do innately things that we could never have done before. We have confidence to go out into this world and do things we've never done before and accomplish them to the goal of the kingdom to which God has called us. Can I get an amen? Going to be a lot of amens in this sermon, because I want us to understand that this is the first goal. We have got to understand that we do not have to run or compete. Jesus already did. All we need to do is walk in that victory and understand that the crown of righteousness, the crown of victory, actually, because there is another crown of righteousness, and we're going to look at that, but the crown of victory has been given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in that first goal, we have reason not to fear, because no matter what this world throws at us, as Paul just spoke here, he's in prison, okay? Remember, context. Paul is in prison here, and yet he says, I'm a victor. I have fought the fight. I have finished the race, and there is in store for me. Okay? Does he actually say that? Yes, he does. We're going to see that here in just a little while. But we need to understand the first goal is realizing fear is not what we're supposed to be about. Okay? We are to understand we are the victors, and when we understand that, fear has no place in us. And now we have purpose, because a victor doesn't just run around with a crown on his head and say, looky at me. You've got to continue working. If you want to remain a victor, you have to continue working. Look at these sports people that are out there. You all know what I'm talking about. You know, they got to constantly be training and training and training. You know, we have two little girls in our church. I don't know if you know it, but two of the Bolts girls, they are out there. They're actually Ungers, but they are Bolts. They are out there, and they are competing in sports. One of them is in gymnastics, and another's in basketball, and they're in swimming. And I'll guarantee you, those two little girls have the busiest life that they could ever have, because in order to do that, they have to also do all their other stuff, their chores and their lessons. And so think about how busy they are. I want you to think about how busy you are. How many of you can't get up in the morning and say, I'd have nothing to do today? We may choose to do nothing today, but the reality is, if we truly see ourselves for who we are, there is so much for us to do, because we have got to continue forward carrying that victor's crown. That means we need to be reading our Bible. We need to be in prayer with God. We need to be worshiping God. We need to be witnessing to other people. We're constantly moving towards these things, and these things are the other goals that God has called us to. And that's what I want you to understand. This first one is the most important. It's the one that each and every one of us has to have, because if you are not in Christ Jesus, you are not a victor. You have fallen under subjugation of this world, and we are dead. We are dead because we are apart from God, apart from Christ, and there is no life in us. But through Jesus Christ, we have life, and we have hope. And in that hope, we can get up every day and move forward. And that has to be what we do. The world wants us to pull the covers up. My wife said it to me this morning. How many of you, it's raining here in Lebanon. How many of you got up this morning and saw the rain, heard the rain? It was kind of dark out. There wasn't any sun coming in. And you were like, oh man, I'd just like to pull the shades back up. Just hit the snooze button. God doesn't want us to hit the snooze button. God wants us, when that alarm bell goes off, he wants us, you know, David Webster used to say, he does a double backflip right out of bed and into his pants. And I said to him, yeah, I don't want to see that. And his wife said to me, I ain't never seen that. But that's what God wants. Spiritually, he wants us up and active. And that's where we're going to go, because we're going to look towards these other goals. And the amazing thing is the crowns that they bring to us. God has said here to us, he wants us to succeed, and he wants to give us incentive to move towards these things, because God is storing up for us treasures in heaven, where moth does not corrupt and where man cannot steal. Can I get an amen? They are held there for us. And we all know, what are we going to do with these crowns when we finally do get to heaven and we have all this reward? What are we going to do with it? We're going to honor God by laying these crowns at Christ's feet. Because the truth of the matter is, without him, none of them would be ours. It is only by grace, love, mercy, compassion, strength, and power that we even have them, or the ability to have them. And in that we will glory in him, not in the treasures, but those treasures will last for us unto eternity. How many of you are trying to just hang on to things today? I just don't want to lose what I have. Well, guess what? There's a place where you'll never lose what you have, but you got to make sure you have it first. So to that, let's look at goal number two. Goal number two, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 8. I entitle this one, Watch. Okay? This goal is to watch. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Can I get an amen? In this truth that we're given here, that is working towards the crown of righteousness. We have the crown of victory in Jesus Christ. But you and I are working towards a crown of righteousness. And we are called here to watch, and not just watch. That's how we see that we're in this time, that we see these people wanting false teachers. And we are to preach, to teach, to rebuke, to exhort in all things unto Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen, church? So we have a goal to accomplish, that we know the truth. We know the one who holds the truth, and we know what the truth is. And the truth will set you free. Can I get an amen? In that amen, what you've just said is that you're going to carry this word in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul, and you are going to proclaim it unto the world. But you are going to watch to see where it's needed and appropriate it. Do you realize that's what you just said? For the crown of righteousness does not come as a sluggard, but the crown of righteousness comes on purpose. Because we have purposed our heart towards God, that we see the hope we have, that the things of this world, they don't scare us anymore. The fears of this world don't scare us anymore. Because even if we die, we know where our eternity is. Can I get an amen, church? I told you, you're going to be saying amen a whole lot in this sermon. Because these are the goals that we are to set ourselves towards. And in this goal, Paul says, I am already being poured out. How many of you feel like you're being poured out? I'll guarantee you, if you don't feel like you're being poured out unto the salvation of others, you need to get working on this thing. Because that means you're not watching what's going on. We've closed our eyes because we're fearful. Jesus says, you're already a victor. Would you please stand up and start walking with me? Do you see how number one folds into number two? You got to get these goals right. Because the very first thing we do is accept the fact that we are a victor. Now we need to watch and work on the crown of righteousness. Because then when we're watching, we know and we bring forth the word. We are prepared because we have watched, we have seen, and now we're moving. If we don't have goals to work towards, how many of our lives turn upside down because we have no direction? God does not want us to have no direction. Why do you think the world is in the order that it is in? Because these young people today have absolutely no direction. And not just young people, elderly people. They have no hope. They're being put in nursing homes throughout the world and forgotten about by their families and their children because, well, we got to chase after the almighty dollar. God never told us to chase after the almighty dollar. God said, seek ye first his kingdom, then all these things would be added unto you. That's where we got to live. We got to watch, talk to these people, bring forth that word just as Paul did, and be poured out like a drink offering. Then we'll receive the crown of righteousness. Oh my goodness, how many of you are watching now? Yeah. But then we go on. God's not done. I'm at 17 minutes. I got three more to go through. We are supposed to witness. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We are to watch, or we are to walk. We are to watch. We are to witness. 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 2. Chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 1 through 19. Let us hear the word of the Lord. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from the error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God, so be entrusted with the gospel. So we speak not to please men, but God who examine our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority, but we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so found an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how hard we worked day and night, so as to not be a burden to any of you. We proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you had heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the utmost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while, in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face, for we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. Now, excuse me, for who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. Now, I just said a whole lot there. What did I just do? What did Paul just do? He just witnessed to these people, okay? Paul was just witnessing to these people. And we're called to be witnesses. Why? Because those who receive the message that we are giving them become our crown of encouragement. Do you see it? Or our crown of exaltation. We receive a crown of exaltation, a crown of joy. Is not exaltation joy? It is a crown of joy. Because in that, those who have received become part of the family. And guess what? They get their first crown. Do you catch it? Because when they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and they accept his death, his burial, his resurrection as the payment for their sins, then they receive the crown of victory and they begin their walk. So we must witness. We must witness with our lives and with our words. You know, I have many folks out here in this world who have told me, but Pastor, my faith is private. Well, is that right? The cross wasn't private, it was public. And we all need to remember, if we are ashamed before men of God, so too shall God, Jesus Christ, be ashamed of us before the Father and his angels in heaven. That's his words, not mine. We need to live that truth. That needs to be one of our life's goals, that we are witnessing with who we are and what we are, because we have that joy in knowing that when someone comes, they're now out of darkness and they finally walked into life. And now they have that light of life in them and they can move on towards the other goals because now they have purpose in their lives. So we have to walk in the victory. We have to watch and we have to witness. Because in those goals, God is moving us forward. This world is looking for that next Savior. The Savior has already come, and he has given us our marching orders. And I'm going to show you that next week and the week after when we begin to look at Matthew 24 and 25. Because it's all about the end times and the way we're supposed to live and what's going to happen to the church. But we need to understand these goals are so intrinsic to who we are and what God wants of us. Because if we are truly God's people, we're going to do what He wants us to do. Because we have the purpose for life. Because we know this world is not our life. We're passing through. And we finally got it. And we're on our way to glory. And we are not just paupers in that kingdom. We are princes and princesses. We are rulers with Christ. And as He is crowned, so too will we be crowned. That's what I'm talking about. There's five crowns that we are all to be working towards. God says, if you do this for me, I'm going to give you something that will never be taken away from you. How many of you are tired of everything in this world being taken away from you? Whew. I think I'm going to have a heart attack up here. I need some water, Miss Jen. I'm telling you, the Word of God, the life of God, oh, it gives me life. It gives me hope. It gives me joy. And I want to pass it on to you. What are the goals Pastor works towards? I've been working towards these things all my life. And in them, I hope for you to be found, that you understand you need to walk in that victory. Watch for the opportunities and speak through the witness that God has given you. Because in that, we will find the hope to move forward. And all of a sudden, life's worth the living. Because our goals, our accomplishments don't add up on this side of the grave. They add up on the other side in eternity where we're going to be with God forever. But God says, hey, we're not done. We've got two more goals, and I've got 8 minutes. So turn in your Bibles to the book of James. How many of you love the book of James? It's the book of the Bible that sets us all straight, isn't it? The book of James, we're going to be in the first chapter. The book of James, the first chapter. We're in the first chapter. We're reading verses 2 through 12 from the book of James. 2 through 12. We just talked about the crown of joy, didn't we? Just talked about the crown of joy. How's he open this up? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too rich men in the midst of this his pursuit will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the what? The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Can I get an amen? We need to, and I call this one worship, okay? Consider it all joy. When all these things come at you, raise your hands in the air and give glory to God. Consider it all joy. I want to tell you right now, if you are going through this life and you are not having troubles, that means Satan is not coming after you, and that means he has no reason to come after you because you're not doing anything for the kingdom. That was pretty harsh, Pastor. Suck it up, cupcake. I'm working for eternity. I'm not here to please men. Did I not just read that? I am here to please God and to bring you into that place of understanding what it means to please God. Consider it all joy. When this stuff comes out, you know, I still am dealing with this foot not being right. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? How many of y'all got stuff in your body, that thorn that just won't go away. Well, guess what? Every morning when I wake up and it still hurts and it aches me to the end of the day, I am praising God for my Savior Jesus, who's going to get me into eternity, and this thing ain't never going to bother me again. So I consider it all joy. It reminds me of how much I need my Savior. It reminds me of how much He has paid for me, because this is a result of sin in our lives. And when we get into eternity, we're going to consider it all joy, because we will be whole and wholly His forever and ever and ever and ever. Can I get an amen? So we need to worship. Our life needs to be an act of worship. When people look at us, do we walk around like Eeyore? Oh, it's me. Or do we walk around like we have won the victory? We have got the victor's crown. And we are watching to see what's going on. And we are witnessing where we need to witness. And once we've witnessed, we've worshiped. Do you see how they all bleed one into the next? Because Christ bled for us to the fullness of all these things. And they are our hope. They are our joy. They are the things that give us purpose to move forward. And a people without purpose are lost. And that's where our world is. They're looking for a Savior. Jesus Christ came, and He's coming again. Can I get an amen out of the church? We just read through the one that we are to watch. Because we are still waiting for His appearing, are we not? Yes, He's already come once, but we know He's coming again. He's going to step out from heaven and call the church, and then He's going to come back to earth at the end of those 7 years. And on that day, there's going to be fear and trembling. But for those of us who are called up in Christ Jesus, because we are waiting, because we are watching, because we are walking, because we are witnessing, because we are worshiping, we'll receive the crowns that each and every one of us has, the goals that God wishes for us to achieve. God wants you to achieve. He does not want mediocre Christians. How many of you have seen that commercial out there? I know I'm dating myself because it's old, where the kids stand up there and say, yeah, I want to be a mediocre. I want to kind of succeed. Is that what we're teaching our kids today? It is what we're teaching our kids today. Accept things where they are. And as Klaus Schwab has said, you will own nothing and be happy. What? God has said, I'm giving you the kingdom. Everything, all of it, it's yours. Who do we follow? Who do we believe? We have every reason to worship God, because in that we see where we are going, and we give thanks unto Him, because it's not about us, it's about Him, isn't it? It's His glory. It's Him who has set us free. When we get these crowns in order, when we look at the victor's crown, and then the watching, and the witnessing, and the worshiping, and if you notice, I didn't write down the crowns. I wrote down the goals. Because I'm not so concerned about the crowns. He names the crowns. But the reality is, here's what I need to look at. I have a victory, and in that victory, I need to walk moving forward. I need to watch what's going on, and in that watching, I need to respond to it. I need to witness when there is opportunity and I see need. I need to speak the truth of God into this world. And when I do, then I worship. Because those who have come to joy will know that they are part of the family, and it gives them that responsibility. It gives them those goals to move forward into. How many people have ever come up to you and said, why are you so happy all the time? I have it happen a lot. People will say to me, Pastor, you know, you're dealing with so much stuff, and yet you just give and give and give. I said, that's because God's given and given and given to me. I can't not give. I can't not tell you about His goodness. I can't not be a witness unto Christ. And I got to worship Him. And I've got to walk with Him. And I've got to watch. But the last thing we need to do, and I'm down to 1 minute. So yeah, we're going to go just a little bit over. We all need to work. Well, Pastor, I do work. I'm not talking about your earthly job that gets you a paycheck. I'm talking about what God has called you to. Turn in your Bibles to this last goal, and it is 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. These goals, these purposes, these crowns that God is bestowing upon us, because they are our drive. We want to please God. And in pleasing God, we achieve these goals. It says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in all the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, conform, strengthen, and establish you. As we understand this, most of us are going to say, but Pastor, I'm not an elder. Would you look at the context here? It tells young men to submit to their elders, and that's talking about older person. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, all of us understand that God does not respect age. Can I get an amen? Because you can be 100 years old and not know Jesus Christ. And you can be 25 years old and have walked with Christ for 20 years and be an elder. Do we get the point? You are an elder to those who do not know God at all. And we are called to the work of being an elder, because those who come into your life, they are your flock. Do you hear me, church? Do you hear me, church? We are all elders, spiritually speaking, because we are further down the line than someone else. And we are responsible to those people to walk with them. So if we have shared, as we just spoke, the victor's crown, and someone has accepted the Lord because of our witness, we need to walk with those individuals. We need to nurture those individuals, get them into the church, that the church also may nurture them, to grow them in the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things I encourage all of you who are out here on internet land. Yes, watch our videos. Become part of us. But remember this, God is calling you to a true church, where he wants you involved in the pews. Yes, I know some of you have been hurt. The church has burnt you. But that's because that church preached that everybody there was perfect. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ in his word says no one's perfect. We are all broken, every one of us. And that includes the preacher speaking this message. But together we can get through it. Amen? Because together we can work on our messes and get things going right. None of us will be perfect until the day of Christ Jesus, when he makes us perfect. But in that walk, we have a work to do. And that work is wherever God calls you to be that elder, to be that person, that we need to be about the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we are, we will receive this final crown, and this final crown being the crown of glory. And I pray that each and every one of us will understand that it's not our glory, because the crown of glory here represents His glory. And the fact that we have, why do you think we're going to lay these crowns down at His feet? It's His righteousness. He has simply given us the power. That's what it means. The power therein has been bestowed upon us. The power therein has been bestowed upon us. The power of the victory has been bestowed upon us. The power of joy has been bestowed upon us. The power of life has been bestowed upon us. And these things are not our own, because we can't work for them. They're His. They're gifts from Him to give us purpose to move forward in this time where everything is falling apart. We know that to be true because God has said that we are living in a day when men's hearts will grow cold and many will fall away from the love of God, because they were taught wrongly that it's about what you can acquire in this world. And you and I know it ain't nothing about this world, but it's everything about the next one. And in that one, we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then we enter into eternity when we don't have to rule and reign over anybody, because all of us will be right. And we will all walk with God, and He will be our God for all eternity. And we will know Him as He is. Oh, my heavens, do you understand what that's going to look like? God is giving us the hope to drive forward. This world's trying to tear it apart. Our finances are falling down. Our economy is falling apart. Our medical system is so confused, they don't know what to do anymore. Our lawyers, all they want to do is sue people. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news, you know, and look at how many Trump cases are on there that all of us get to see. How many of you are watching what's happening down in Texas right now? You know, we're talking about civil war in the United States on many fronts. I'm telling you right now, if things are going to fall apart anymore, I'm going to tell you they are. It's going to get a whole lot worse. But guess what? We have every hope to keep going on, because we know that as we work towards these crowns, God in all His glory is saving people out of this world for the real one, which is next to come. Oh, brothers and sisters, and I didn't even give you the sermon yet. All I gave you was the goals to which God has called us to live. Tune in next week when we start that series of sermon, Life in the Last Days. Let's pray. Father God, we do not fear this world, but we come at this world with the power of Jesus Christ and the name that is above all names. And Lord Jesus, we, just as You have brought us to life, wish to bring others to that place of accepting You and walking into that life, receiving the victor's crown, and then becoming part of those who are watching and witnessing and worshiping and working towards the goals to which You have called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father, for those who are out there who want to walk in that truth, we ask, Lord, that they simply turn their hearts to You, repent of their sin, and claim the name of Jesus Christ and walk therein, trusting in Him, obeying His word, and transforming their lives from where they are to where they're going to be. Lord God, none of us are changed in a day, but yet we are saved in a moment. So may we call upon the name that is above every name, the name that every tongue will confess and every knee bow, for He is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the Son of God, the very Messiah of our life and of our world, in whose name we come and in whose name we pray, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.